I'm Chad Owen, the annuity sales coach. In 2007, I was $150,000 in credit card debt, and now I've written over $155 million in annuity production as a solo producer. I make my own calls, schedule my own appointments, do my own follow-up, and I'm actively in the field just like you. If you've hit a rough patch in your business, you're not alone. I've helped agents overcome and find success on a daily basis, and now many write over $1 million or more each month. Let me help you do the same. Buckle up, it's time to go to school with the Annuity Sales Coach. Hello everyone, Chad Owen, the Annuity Sales Coach, and welcome to another podcast. I do these about every week. I'm hoping someday to get more than one a week, but man, life just keeps going and going in a good way. It's not all work, a lot of it's play, but man, it's just busy, 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 but I love it. I love basically fulfilling what I know God has called me to do, helping people succeed, helping our industry get better and better. And before I forget, I'm going to hit this probably every week so you get tired of this, but you do not want to miss our live event in September. It's a two-day event. It's the 26th and 27th of September. What I do there is I actually teach you how to increase annuity production. I don't care if you're a life insurance agent, if you're a Medicare agent, if you're a long-term care agent, if you're series licensed, it doesn't matter. I teach you how to get in front of more people with annuities. This is not a lead-based thing. This is a solution-based. I believe you can get in front of clients all the time, no matter what career you're in. To me, a good lead is anybody you can get in front of that has a problem that you can find a solution for. But don't forget the live event in September. Early bird prices are going in right now, and it will close once we hit our number. It does not matter. We specifically picked a place that is limited because I do not want to even be tempted to have too many people in the room. I have a very specific number I love to speak to because I feel there can be some interaction. Once we get to a certain size, it just doesn't work to have interaction with the audience. Yes, I could fill out big rooms and I see people, trying to do 1,000 people or 2,000 people. That is just not my style. I am an individual type person that loves interacting one-on-one with people. And that's why I keep the event small. Plus, I can be more focus-driven. I can find out what each agent kind of needs and what their purpose behind things. But today's topic is how to sell when the market keeps rising. I find this quite interesting that this question is still coming up because, quite frankly, the market has not kept rising. For the past 2 years, I would say you could go 2 years and it's actually done very well. For the last year and a half, that is absolutely not the case. The market has not been going up consistently for the last year and a half. Actually, if you go back to about January of 2018, you could say we're pretty darn close to the same spot we were almost a year and a half later, actually a little over a year and a half later. So saying that the market keeps rising, how to sell when the market keeps rising, because that's a question I get consistently, you're already setting yourself up for failure because you're making the implication that the market has kept rising. Now, for the past 10 years, has the market kept rising? Absolutely. But why is it rising as high as it did or is? Because it fell so far. I mean, when you lose over 50% in the S&P in 2007 to 2009, and you gain back the 50% you lost, you can't say that's a market rising. That's recovering what you've already lost. And so to make the implication that, well, look how well the market's done the past 10 years, and I hear agents say that, that is not a true statement. You go back to where the market was in 2007, and you say, okay, since 2007, this is approximately how much you've gained right now. But you don't go down to 2009 and go, well, look how much you've gained since 2009. You can't, because there's a recoup you have to do. There's basically getting above water, so you can't count that as a rise. And you could say, well, look what the market's done since the early 1900s. Okay, we've had the creation of pensions. We have the creation of 401ks. We have the creation of computers where you can actually do trading online. These are things that make the stock market more accessible. You have more companies that are on. You have more shares that are available. It's easier to access stocks. It's easier to trade. We have all these platforms where you can actually trade your own stocks. And many, many years before, really, I'd say since the 2000s, the very beginning, I'd say 1997, 1998, we didn't have the accessibility to trade stocks the way we do now. So once again, to make that implication that the market keeps rising, all markets rise till they don't. I know that's a profound statement right there. It's full of wisdom, but all markets fall till they don't. All people do good in the market or keep gambling in the market, and they do well till they don't. You know, we were on a cruise ship, and I was trying to teach a principle to my two son-in-laws about gambling. And I lived in Vegas for 4 years, and I know they know this, but there's this. And fortunately, the Lord allowed it to happen this way. So I was very happy about this because there's multiple lessons I could have taught in this. But I put $20 into a poker machine, and I love poker. I've always have, but I hate gambling. So I started betting, and I started hitting right cards, and my $20 goes up to $30. Then my $30 goes up to $35, and it goes back to $21. And then I got a four of a kind, and it takes me up to $55. And as soon as I hit $55, I hit cash out button. And I went and cashed out the money, and then I split it three ways between my two son-in-laws and my son. I said, I'm not going to keep money that I gambled on. I wanted to teach you a point that, you know what, gambling has that rush. And obviously they felt that and they were making comments, wow, look at how much you were earning. Yeah, but if I didn't get cash out right there, I could have lost and probably would have lost everything because every slot machine, every table, diversification, everything in that casino is designed to take my money, and I will lose in the long run. I believe with stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, obviously you can do well. It just depends on your luck, the timing. Really, everything comes to luck and timing because nowadays we are in such an emotionally based market, an emotionally driven market. I mean, think about this. This started back in the days with Greece. Market up on Greece hope, market down on Greece fear, market up on Greece hope, market down on Greece fear, market up on Cyprus hope, market down on Cyprus fear, market up on Brexit hope, market down on Brexit fears, market up on Trump slump, or market up on Trump hump, market down on Trump slump, market up on Russian hope, market down on Russian fear, market up on China hope, market down on China fear. It's always based off of the hopes and dreams and the fears and the concerns. That's what drives the market. News every day dictates where the market's going to go. And I'm convinced, I have no actual proof of this, but I've been studying this for over basically since about 2002. I started studying about how news correlates with the market going up or down and trying to trace who's actually writing the articles. And is it the large institutions, the stock institutions that create these articles that cause the market to go up and down? And they place these trades because coincidentally, you know, from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m., all these articles come out and negative or positive, and it causes the market to go up and down. So they know how to place against the market or for the market before the news comes out, which causes the stocks to go up or down. That's just speculation, but I find it quite coincidental that this has been going on for well over a decade, and very rarely is it digging into the financials of companies, because once again, if we dug into the financials of companies, there's stocks that are going up when the financials are horrible and the companies are huge in debt, and even though they're not taking profits or taking losses, their stocks still get on. This is major problems. So when we educate our clients, once again, you cannot tell or advise if you're not series licensed, you cannot tell a client whether they should or they shouldn't get in or out of variable products of any sort. that can, if it's a stock, bond, a mutual fund, a variable annuity, anything like that, if you're not licensed, you cannot advise. But I have no problem educating my clients and going, think about what causes the market to go up and down. Think about what causes the fluctuation in the market. How does that make you feel when the market goes up and down? Do you lose sleep at night because of that? If they say no, then fine. That's not a person that I need to help. If they're fine with market volatility, then I don't need to help that person. It's their money, their retirement, their decision. But that's why I'm very deliberate in the question I ask on my fact finder, are you willing to lose all of your money, some of your money, or none of your money? And I always get a laugh from that. Well, of course I don't want to lose anything. Well, if you say you don't want to lose anything, just tell me why you're in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, REITs, or anything that you can lose money. Because we know if you really were concerned about losing money, you would never put your money in things that can lose money. Now, once again, I'm not telling them to get in or out. That's their decision. But if they say adamantly, I don't want to lose anything, then why are you in these products? I don't know. That's a good question. You know, because you were adamant saying you don't want to lose any money. Now, if somebody says, hey, I'm fine with losing all, or I'm fine with losing some of my money, that may not be the person for me to help because they're fine with risk. I had someone I spoke with a few weeks ago and they were multi-millionaire. And even if they lost half of their money, they still would have done fine. They had more than enough income. I mean, they had about $300,000 in pensions and he had 10 years of a payout of a note he was carrying for his company. So, I mean, it would have been almost impossible for that person to really mess up because they lived in a very conservative home. They lived a very conservative lifestyle. They didn't waste money. They were very deliberate in what they did with their money. And it wasn't wasteful, but they could have easily, this required about $10,000 a month, which could have easily lasted them many lifetimes because of how much they had. So they are fine with losing some of their money. Well, that's not the client I need to help. If they don't understand or think safety and security is important to them, then that's not the client for me. We need to know who we are and what we're not. You know, in other words, I am not a guy that risks people's money. Brokers and bankers, they're fine with that. That's okay to them. And if that's their deal, then fine, let it happen that way. That's once again, we can't get emotionally attached to other people's money. It doesn't make sense. We are there to help the people that want help. I'm there to offer safety, security, guaranteed income. Clients can never outlive with no risk to the market. That is my thing. And if you've heard my podcast over the years, you know I talk about that over and over again. Safety, security, guaranteed income. You can never outlive with no risk to the market. That's just who I am. I am a person that is not into volatility. I'm not into the unknown. I mean, I tell them this. I tell clients, I go, how can you plan a retirement whatsoever if you don't know where the market's going to be a week, a day, 10 days, 15 days, 5 years, 10 years? How can you tell me you can plan a retirement if you don't know where the market's going to be? The other thing you don't know is how long are you going to live for? So if you're trying to plan a retirement, you don't know where your money's going to be in the next week, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. You don't have any clue on how long you're going to live for. How can you plan anything if you can lose money in what you're in? That's why we have the indexed annuities with income riders, the fixed annuities. We have products that we know beyond. If you're doing an income rider, you know this is what your value is going to be at this particular time. This is how much money you can draw off of it. And when you do that, you get the income for the rest of your life, no matter how long you live. Doesn't matter what the market's doing up or down. That's called safety and security. That's called protecting your money. And so when you say how to sell when the markets keep rising, you can't be under that perception that they still are rising. So sometimes I'll actually pull up an S&P chart and I go, okay, here's what the market has done the past 20 years. From 2000 to 2012, the S&P was almost at the exact same spot. Right now, if you had about a 50% drop in the market in the S&P, you'd be the same place you were about January 1st of 2000. So 19 years later, you have the potential to be where you were 19 years ago. How's that going to help your retirement? And I always balance it with this. I have no idea what the market's going to do tomorrow. It could go up a lot. It could drop down a lot. We don't know. But that's the point. You've never been 60 years old or 70 years old before. You've never been at an age where you can't afford to lose money. You've never been in an age at 70 and a half where you have to start to pull out your required minimum distributions. So if you're pulling out your required minimum distributions while the market's dropping, you're getting hit two times. When the market starts to recover and you're still pulling out your required minimum distributions, you're not earning everything because you have to pull out the required minimum distributions. So what is better than our products? The safety, the security, the guaranteed income you can never outlive, the no risk to the market. Why wouldn't you want to be in something like this to where you don't even have to think about anymore? And I use this example. This happened in 2008. I had a client that went on a 3-week vacation. They came back. The market fell 1,000 points. They lost $30,000 and they did not have a ton of money. And guess what? They did not recover that. It went down, as you guys know, till 2009, March of 2009. We know the market still continued to fall. So when we talk about it still continuing to fall till March of 2009, yeah, it started to recover, but it did take a little while for it to get wound back up again and running. And once again, we've had an unprecedented gain. This is never, the market never in history has this long, this steep of an incline. And we know eventually something's got to happen. I'm not saying when or if, I don't know. I know it will. I just don't know when or if it will. And in the next year, I don't know. But the point is why not protect your money now? So I would not say how to keep or how to sell when the markets keep rising. I'd say, how do you make an unrealized gain a realized gain? You have to get out of the market. Now, once again, I'm not saying get out of the market. I'm just saying that's how you make an unrealized gain a realized gain. It's their decision, their money. And if you're not licensed, you can't advise on it. And I hit that real hard because there's no gray in our world. It's black or white. You follow the rules. You do what the rules tell you to do and you'll never get in trouble. And you don't even try and skirt over towards the side of, well, I might be able to get away with it. There's no getting away with anything. You follow the rules exact. But the only way to make an unrealized gain a realized gain is to get out of the market, just like the only way to make an unrealized loss a realized loss is get out of the market. But once again, what is the purpose of your money? That's how you sell when the markets keep rising. You keep focusing on what is the purpose of what you do. My purpose is safety, security, guaranteed income you can never outlive with no risk to the market. That's what I provide for my clients. And the only way for you to do that is to be in products that don't have a downward potential. So I appreciate your time, guys. I hope this helps you. You have a great day. Happy selling.
Thanks for tuning in. If you've enjoyed this podcast, be sure to check out Retirement Realize Agents Academy. Visit our website at raragentsacademy.com and enroll in our coaching program today. We've helped agents double and triple their business through the systems and strategies we have in place. As a member, you have access to countless documents, webinars, independent courses, and one-on-one coaching time with me so we can diagnose your business and come up with a plan to get you closing more sales and helping more clients. Be sure to subscribe to my podcast and follow me on LinkedIn at Chad Owen. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, The Annuity Sales Coach. Like, comment, and ring the bell for more free training, and follow me on Facebook at Retirement Realize Agents Academy. This podcast is sponsored by Aegis Financial at 800-579-7923 and Annuity Agents Alliance at 888-742-4368.